In addition to teacher pay, one of the major issues being discussed right now is what to do about coal ash. And there are differing plans on what to do about that problem. So the state Senate has a plan that would clean up the coal ash ponds, but would include timelines. Governor, you came out with a plan that doesn't include timelines, but you have said that you'd like to see those coal ash ponds cleaned up. And you also have a long history working for Duke Energy, which, depending on who you ask, that could be an asset or it could be a liability.
I've seen about $500,000 of TV ads, obviously directed toward me. I don't know what group was running the TV ads. It must be a liability if someone's willing to spend, I think, $600,000 worth of ads. So the political campaign started in my first year. So, but that's okay.
Well, how would you say your history with that industry affects your choices on this?
Well, yeah, no, correct. Well, first of all, the history of the industry, I was not on the coal side, so I didn't have a lot of experience in that side, but I've had to gain knowledge of that. I think a lot of North Carolina did not know much about coal ash. In fact, no one had been talking about coal ash for the last 50 to 60 years, including environmental groups, up until the spill in Tennessee 2 years ago. So previous administrations, the current attorney general and previous attorney generals, there was no discussion of coal ash whatsoever. Instead, until my first 3 months in office, when we fined Duke Power for some leaks, it wasn't a coal ash leak, it was liquid leaks coming out of coal ash ponds. So we were the first administration to ever take legal action against Duke Energy Company, which did happen to be my previous employer, but it had absolutely no impact on me hesitating to take action because I have no financial interest in Duke Energy. I don't even have a pension after 29 years of employment, and I treat them as any other employer. But they are also an important asset in providing reliable and efficient energy for the state, and they're also one of our largest employers. And I have a lot of good old friends that I used to work with there, but I'm going to make the tough decisions necessary. The Senate bill, actually, I'm pretty happy with. I have no problem with the timetables. I did not put timetables in at the time because I didn't want a politician to put a timetable in. I think the engineers and the environmentalists and the technicians should put a timetable in on what's the reasonable time to be able to move the coal ash or at least line the coal ash ponds. And the problem with this issue is, as you can see by the political commercials, people are turning this into a political argument on both the right and the left. And frankly, it's a scientific argument that we have to get clarification on from the scientists and the engineers. And that's frankly who I'm going to listen to.
There are critics out there who say they feel like you're not being tough enough on your former colleagues. How would you respond to that?
Actually, I'm the only governor that ever took action against Duke Power Company. I didn't see the protest against my predecessor, so I think there's some partisanship involved in this and some pure politics involved in this, with all due respect, because I don't remember the protests before I came into office. And believe me, the problems that we're seeing today did exist in the past. They were just pretended that they weren't there. Out of sight, out of mind. And that was also even true with the environmental groups, weren't talking about them. But we're very lucky, you know. With the coal ash issue at the plant outside of Greensboro, we're very lucky that there was no major harm. We had no water system closed. We had no fish die. We had no permanent damage. But it could have been a terrible accident, as we investigated it more, where there was some very poor infrastructure and piping in within the dams. And frankly, there was some legislation passed prior to me coming into office and approved by my predecessor, which allowed that, which we're recommending that legislation be changed, and it will be changed under my administration. So I'm very proud of what we've done, and I understand there's an attempt to have kind of a 7 degrees of separation accusation toward me, but there is absolutely not one specific example where I have not taken action based upon my previous employment or, frankly, based upon any other connection. I'm the only governor who's ever taken action. And that was even before the spill.
Governor, the coal ash topic and all kinds of other issues ranging from teacher pay to reproductive rights have been fodder for protests at the General Assembly for the Moral Monday protests. And there are protesters who gather at the legislature every Monday.
Sometimes I have more media there than protesters there. The other day we had 8 or 9 people outside my office getting arrested, and I think we had 15 photographers and news media. So it's pretty high profile. I think the media likes to see the activity. It's kind of unique for Raleigh, but I respect the protesters. They have every right to protest. I came here and protested as a mayor of Charlotte one time against the bad criminal justice system. But I do not disagree with interfering with the operations of the legislature, whether it be Republican or Democrat. They don't allow it in Washington. The leaders of the Democratic or Republican Party do not allow that in D.C. And frankly, I think we have to respect the institutions once you come inside of a building.
It sounds like you probably favor the new rules that were made in the General Assembly.
I actually think the rules probably should be a little stricter. I don't think we should have signs inside the Senate and House chambers. I allowed that when I was a city council member, and it just distracted from speakers, and it seemed to be more for the cameras than the actual debate.
Would you ever be willing to sit down with some of the protesters and talk?
I actually have. In fact, just 3-4 weeks ago, first of all, I met with Reverend Barber when I was governor-elect. I had him over to my offices, had a wonderful conversation, but the minute he leaves the office, he changed the dynamic. When he gets in front of the cameras, he's different from the person that you have one-on-one conversations with. But more than anything else, whether it be from protesters or from Republicans or Democrats, I'm looking for people who have solutions, who don't just have signs telling us what the problem is, but actually have solutions to complex problems. And those are the type of people I've surrounded myself with on my cabinet.
My last question, Governor, after the legislative session is over, what are you going to focus on, and what would you like to get accomplished?
Well, one is the transportation and infrastructure plan. The other is to implement our new economic development brand and policy to recruit new jobs in North Carolina. And Sharon Decker, another great member of my cabinet team, is doing a great job. And I'm very proud that the public-private partnership was approved, a whole new way we're going to recruit businesses and retain businesses. We're going to spend as much time with existing businesses, getting them to grow, as we do trying to convince businesses to come to North Carolina. And the third area is education. I want to implement the career pathways plan for teachers. And I'm working very closely in a bipartisan way with June Atkinson. We've got a great relationship with Bill Coby, the head of the Education Board, and then also with our community college system, where we want to reemphasize technical training, because employers are telling us that they cannot find the labor and talent needed to fill many of the jobs, especially in manufacturing, that we're recruiting. And we're really working with Scott an awful lot, the head of the community college system, and also with the universities. So I'm real excited in the areas of education, transportation, and economic development is where I'm really emphasizing my efforts and my time.
Thank you, Governor, for talking with us today.
Thank you. Have me back anytime. I'd be glad to talk more.